If you would now turn to number 97, O to be like thee, we will sing the first verse only, the first verse in the chorus of number 97 before David comes up and begins the lesson. If you would, let us stand as we sing the first verse. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, this is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of his treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart.
Well, as Thomas mentioned, we're doing things in some ways a bit differently this morning than what we normally do. But in a real sense, we're really not doing anything differently. We're doing some things in a different order, but they are things that we do every time we're gathered together here. Part of what we're doing that is different in order is some senses really a merging of our singing and of our sermon. And that is entirely appropriate because both are really methods of instruction. Scripture talks to us about the fact that we should teach and admonish one another in our songs. And of course, that's the very act of what preaching is. It is an act of teaching or of instructing. But of course, for instruction to be effective, there are a couple of things, at least, at the very least, that have to be involved. Certainly, the one who is teaching has to do so with an intention to communicate, a desire to do so in an effective way. I suspect that we've all sat in classes where the teacher was just clearly not all that interested in doing a very effective job in his or her teaching. But a second thing that must be involved for teaching to be effective is for those that are listening, those who are hearing, to likewise be serious and to be involved and to be attentive. There's just not going to be much instruction to happen. No matter how diligent and involved and committed the teacher is, there's not going to be any instruction that happens if students are not desiring and involved and committed. I can speak from experience. I tried that in a fair amount of my educational efforts as a student to pass a class without really being all that serious and all that involved and committed as a student to what was going on. And it just doesn't work. Well, I think that the same can be said of our instruction here as we endeavor to be together in an effort to teach and to instruct. Brother Horst, do we need to do anything? Oh, okay. Well, when we're involved in our singing, that's really what we're involved in teaching and instructing. And an interesting thing about that, it seems to me, is that in our singing, we are both teaching and being taught. When we sing, we are, Scripture tells us, singing, teaching, admonishing one another. And at the same time, we are being taught and admonished. And so we must be involved. We must be committed and thoughtful about what is being said and what is being declared, not only in a sermon kind of scenario, but also in singing. And all of this is so appropriate in the fact that we are disciples. That's what the Bible speaks about, our role and our relationship to the Lord. And a disciple, very simply, is a pupil, a student. You know, in ancient times, the role of a teacher and a student was quite different than what we're probably accustomed to. It's not like going to a university where you are one of several hundred students and you have maybe several different professors in the classes that you're taking. In ancient times, a disciple had a much closer, much more intimate relationship with their teacher. In fact, in some instances, the disciples of a teacher lived with that teacher and saw him firsthand throughout the course of a day-to-day life. And so a student really became knowledgeable about his teacher. We are disciples of Jesus. When we first become his disciples, we may not be much like him. But as we learn more from him and we come to see more about him, then we can become more like him. And that's really the theme of what we're going to be doing here this morning as we've sung that first verse of the song, "Oh, to be like thee." Well, how do you go about being and becoming like Jesus? I would suggest to you there are four things involved in that. There is, first of all, information involved. That is, knowing facts about Jesus, coming to learn about him and learn from him, being taught by him. But then also there is adoration involved. Once we've learned the facts, we need to admire our teacher. If we're not going, to strive to become like someone who we have absolutely no admiration for. In addition to coming to adore him, there must also be meditation. We have to think about his nature. We have to think about his character. We have to dwell upon and think about his teaching if we are truly going to become like him. And the final thing involved in this is imitation. Finally, we will live out the things that we have learned from our teacher, either by observing, by seeing in him the way he lived, the way he conducted himself, or by the things that he taught. It will become natural to us to react in the ways that he would condone, to respond in the way that he responded to circumstances. And by that, we become more and more like him, and we conform to his image. And so we're going to sing some songs today along this line of becoming more like Jesus. The first thing we're going to sing about is gaining information about Jesus. On one occasion, a certain group of people came to the Lord. They were met by his disciples. And they had the simple request, "Sir, we would see Jesus." They wanted to know more about him and learn more from him. And so let's sing a couple of songs along those lines.
More About Jesus, number 406. We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 3 only. So verses 1, 2, and 3 only of More About Jesus. More about Jesus would I know, more of his grace to others show,
Jesus, more, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus, let me learn, more of his holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More, more about Jesus, more, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus in his word, holding communion with my Lord, hearing his voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. More, more about Jesus, more, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness, more of his love who died for me.
Now song number 156, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. And for this song, we'll notice all three verses in succession and then the chorus one time. So all three verses, then the chorus one time at the end of the third verse.
Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang, welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings to earth. Fasting alone in the desert, tell of the days that are past, how for our sins he was tempted, yet was triumphant at last. Tell of the years of his labor, sorrow he bore. He was despised and afflicted, homeless, rejected, and poor. Tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him. Tell how he liveth again. Love in that story so tender, clearer than ever I see. Let me weep while you whisper, love paid the ransom for me. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard.
Well, after the story of Jesus is told to us, and even if every word of that story has been written on our hearts and in our minds, if we're not moved to love him and to adore him because of what we have learned about him, then really the learning of those facts is not going to accomplish a great deal for us. In fact, Jesus spoke about the need to have this kind of adoration for him when he said on one occasion that he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. This adoration of Jesus must become the supreme love of our lives. He must truly be first in our life. And so, let us think in our songs about what it means to truly love Jesus and whether or not we truly do have that supreme adoration for him.
Number 34, Worthy Art Thou. And for this song, we will also sing the three verses in succession, then the chorus one time. So the three verses, then the chorus one time.
Worthy of praises, Christ our Redeemer, worthy of glory, honor and power, worthy of all our souls' adoration, worthy art thou, worthy art thou. Lift up the voice in praise and devotion, saints of all earth before him shall bow.
Lord Jesus.
There is a
Well, when we have gained information, collected facts, learned truths about Jesus, and have been maybe been moved by that to adore Him, to value Him, we really have not yet completed what is required of us if we are to be good students of His. Maybe you recall the occasion of a young man in Mark the 10th chapter coming to Jesus with a question about what must I do to inherit eternal life. The scripture describes this young man as a wealthy young man, a ruler. And the text says that he ran to Jesus and that he knelt down before Him. There were a lot of commendable things about that young man. And he clearly had come to the point where he valued Jesus. There was some admiration in that young man for the Lord. But when Jesus spoke to him about what he required, what was needed for him to indeed gain eternal life, the young man was unwilling to comply with what the Lord said. And he went away sorrowfully, the text says. And he did so because he owned great possessions. And Jesus had, as we've talked about a moment ago, Jesus actually spoke to him about what he would need to do to value Jesus above all else, even above the material things that he owned. And the young man was simply not willing to place that kind of value and that kind of esteem in Jesus. I imagine that to a degree the reason for that was simply because he did not do a very good job of thinking, of evaluating values. For when all is said and done, his soul, like your soul and my soul, is worth far more than any amount of riches that we might possess. And the young man just simply did not make that value judgment. And a lot of times folks don't make the kinds of judgments and evaluations about spiritual things and about Jesus simply because they don't do a good enough job of meditating about Him and thinking about Him and thinking through the significance of who He is and of what He has said. You know, if a person really admires someone, they will strive to become like that person that they admire. That's what those disciples did with the teachers that they followed in those ancient times. And you just think about it, how that is true, so true in our lives. I mean, now, this probably seems like an extreme example, but if a person really admired Adolf Hitler, and there are some who do, what would you expect that person to be like? And if a person really admires Jesus, then what will they become like? Well, obviously they will become like the one that they love and adore, but it will not be without serious contemplation and thought. We must think through who Jesus is and who He says He is. You know, it's just not possible for us to just give a tip of the hat to Jesus, just kind of an acknowledgement of, yeah, he was someone significant. He was an important individual. His claims go far beyond just being someone that you can give a cursory kind of acknowledgement to. We have to think through the life of Jesus. We have to think through the significance and the implications of the teachings of Jesus, how they apply to us. So Jeremy will lead us now in a couple of songs that reflect on that need that we have for meditation and contemplation about Jesus.
Number 694, Savior, Teach Me. We'll sing all three verses of this song.
Savior, teach me
number 189, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. We'll sing verses 1, 3, and 4. 1, 3, and 4 of When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
When I survey
of information, developing an adoration, and engaging in a meditation. The goal of it all is, finally, imitation. It is to become like the one that we have learned about. the one that we have come to adore, the one that we have meditated upon and thought through the significances of his life and his teachings. It is, in fact, to become like Jesus. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And it is true in the negative sense. If our, like the ancient world in the days of Noah, the thoughts of their minds were upon evil continually, and that's what they were. That's what they became. They became evil to such a degree that God destroyed them. But the other side of the coin is true too. That is, if we think upon that which is good, if we dwell upon, meditate upon Jesus, then we can become more like him, and we can become not what God is displeased with, but with what God is pleased with. I have a friend who has a great-grandson who has fallen in love with, of all things, golf. And there's no one, as far as I know, there's really no one in the family that's that devoted of a golfer. But this little tyke has fallen in love with golf. And they turn the TV on, if they go through the channels, and you go through the kids' channels, and you go through a channel where they're showing golf, he wants the golf on. He wants to watch golf. And he has really become enamored with Phil Mickelson. And he just loves to watch Phil Mickelson play golf. And it is a devotion that has come to the point where when the parents want to get the little boy to do something, they'll tell him, well, Phil Mickelson will do it. You know, if he doesn't want to put his shoes on, but Phil Mickelson always wears his shoes. Okay, I'll put my shoes on. Of course, they tell him, and Phil Mickelson takes a nap every afternoon. You know? Well, of course, when we come to really be attached to someone, we will strive to imitate. You remember back a few years ago, the kind of a fad was wearing the bracelets, the WWJD. What would Jesus do? And that's an entirely appropriate question for us to ask. But of course, what is also entirely necessary is that we have the right information about what Jesus did, and that we have the right understanding about what Jesus did. And then using that, we can become like Jesus, imitating him in our lives. And so we'll sing a couple of more songs about imitating Jesus. And the first one that we're going to sing is the second and third verses of Oh, to Be Like Thee. And I want you to take special notice in this song, in these two verses, of the emphasis that is placed upon what characteristics Jesus possessed. And ask ourselves, do we cultivate these in our own lives?
Verses 2 and 3 of Oh, to Be Like Thee, number 97.
Oh, to be like thee, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender and kind, helping the helpless, cheering the fainting, seeking the wandering sinner to find. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stand thine own near.
Now number 454, Let the Beauty of Jesus Be Seen. All three verses in number 454.
Well, it is certainly hoped that it is the desire of each person here to know more about Jesus, to have the information that's available to us about Him, to grow in adoration of Him, and in that adoration to truly meditate upon the significance of all that He was, all that He said. To the point that we then want to become like Him. That ought to be what every person who is a disciple, who's here today, that's what we ought to desire. But you know, it's not when a gathering of people of this number, it's not always true that every person is a disciple of Jesus. And of course it is the desire that Jesus has, that all men would be saved. And so it is His desire that you would be saved, that you would be His disciple. And for that very reason, He invited all to come to Him. All who are weary and heavy laden, to come and take His yoke upon them. To bear up the load that He places upon us. Because it's a light load. And His yoke is an easy yoke to bear. But it is an invitation that every person must accept. Because Jesus offers Himself as the master, the teacher, to any who would become His disciple. If you're not one of His disciples, why not? Why not today enroll yourself in His school? Follow Him and become like Him. We're going to sing one verse of that song, O to Be Like Thee, the last verse, as an invitation to those who may not be Christians, that you become one today. And I want you to notice that in this final verse, there is the phrase, Lord, I am coming. And that's exactly what those who would become disciples of Jesus must do. They must come to Him. And we pray that you'd do so today while we stand and sing.
Oh, to be like Thee.